In the first assignment, we are given a process SK, which is a super martingale, and a stopping time sigma. And we are supposed to show that the stopped process is a super martingale, and the stopped process is the process which we get by taking K minimum sigma, the minimum of K and sigma in the time variable. And to prove that this stopped process is a super martingale, we need to check the three conditions of a super martingale. First condition is that SK should be FK measurable for each K. And second is that SK should be integrable. And third condition is the super martingale inequality. So let's first check the measurability condition. And here we write SK as a telescoping sum, or there's SK minimum sigma. And we are using this fact that SM can be written as the sum of S0 and sum n from 1 to m, Sn minus 1. So this is a telescoping sum. Now in place of m, we have the minimum of k and sigma. So basically, we sum up to the minimum of k and sigma here. But instead of taking the minimum, we add zeros. So if n is greater than k, then we add zeros to the sum if sigma happens to be greater than k. And this indicator function makes the terms zero in the case that n would be greater than sigma. So we take the, and n needs to be less than or equal to sigma in the sum, and the rest terms are zeros. So we can write this SK minimum sigma like this. And now here Sn is Fn measurable. Sn minus 1 is Fn minus 1 measurable. And since n is less than or equal to k, these are also Fk measurable. And also this indicator function is Fk measurable because this set n less than or equal to sigma is the complement of the set where sigma is less than or equal to n minus 1. And because sigma is a stopping time, this set is Fn minus 1 measurable. So, so the indicator function is Fn minus 1 measurable and Fn minus 1 is a sub-sigma algebra of Fk because n minus 1 is less than k. And also S0 is Fk measurable. So all the terms in this decomposition are Fk measurable. So Sk minimum sigma is Fk measurable. And the second condition, the integrability, we get using this same decomposition again. And then triangle inequality. So we are using triangle inequality. So here we can approximate from above by adding absolute value signs, the plus sign on each term. And the indicator function is less than or equal to 1. So and we have a finite sum. And this Sn is integrable, and Sn minus 1 is integrable, and S0 is integrable. So all these expectations here are finite. We have a finite sum of finite values. And it's finite. And third condition is the martingale, super martingale inequality. So we need to show that the conditional expectation of SK plus 1 minimum sigma with respect to the sigma algebra FK is less than or equal to SK minimum sigma. And now we can write this SK plus 1 minimum sigma as a sum of two terms. And now if sigma is sigma is less than k plus 1, then k plus 1 minimum sigma is sigma. And if sigma indeed is strictly greater than less than k plus 1, it's also less than or equal to k. So this is the same as k minimum sigma. And if sigma is greater than or equal to k plus 1, then k plus 1 minimum sigma is equal to k plus 1. Okay, so in this first case, if sigma is less than k plus 1, then sk plus 1 minimum sigma is this sk minimum sigma. And this indicator function gives a zero. So the second term is zero. And if sigma is greater than or equal to k plus 1, then we have a k here. So this vanishes. And this sk cancels out with that sk if sigma is greater than or equal to k plus 1. And this indicator function is equal to 1 in that case. Okay, so this sk plus 1 minimum sigma can be indeed expressed as a sum of these two terms. And now this indicator function here, this is fk measurable, because again, we can use this fact that this set where k plus 1 is less than or equal to sigma, this is the complement of the set where sigma is less than or equal to k, so there's a complement sign up there. And this is fk measurable because sigma is a stopping time. And sk minimum sigma, this is fk measurable, we just proved it in the first step. So we can take this sk minimum sigma out from the conditional expectation, and this indicator function is measurable with respect to fk, so we can take also that out from the conditional expectation. And this sk plus 1, the conditional expectation of sk plus 1 with respect to fk, this is less than or equal to sk. Because S was a supermartingale. So this we get by the assumption that S is a supermartingale. Okay, so and this sk is fk measurable, so we can also take it out from the conditional expectation. So this term is less than or equal to zero. Okay. So we can approximate this from above by this value as k minimum sigma. In the second assignment, we prove the supermartingale estimate. So we are given a supermartingale sk, which depends on omega. And then we define a random variable s sigma, and sigma depends on omega, and s still depends on omega. But in place of k, we have sigma of omega. And we need to show that the conditional expectation of this random variable S sigma with respect to fk is less than or equal to sk minimum sigma. So this supermartingale sk minimum sigma gives an upper bound for this conditional expectation. And there are several ways to do this, and I'll just explain one of those ways. First of all, this S sigma, because sigma is less than or equal to t, we can take the minimum of t and sigma. So this is equal to sigma, because sigma is less than or equal to t. Okay, and now we can write this as a telescoping sum using this stopped supermartingale from exercise number one. So we start from k and take sk minimum sigma. And here we, when k, n is equal to k plus 1, here we are subtracting sk minimum sigma, and so on. So the last term that is not being cancelled is s capital t minimum sigma. Okay. And now we take the conditional expectation on both sides. So here we would add the conditional expectation with respect to Fk. And this we know that this is Fk measurable. So we take it out from the conditional expectation, and by linearity we can take the conditional expectation here. So let's look at this conditional expectation. With the tower property, we can plug in another conditional expectation. With respect to Fn minus 1, because n is greater than or equal to k plus 1, so n minus 1 is greater than k. So this is a tower property. So Fn minus 1 includes this sigma algebra Fk because n is n minus 1 is greater than or equal to k. Okay, now this Sn minus 1 minimum sigma, this is Fn minus 1 measurable, so we can take it out. And we just have the conditional expectation of Sn minimum sigma with respect to Fn minus 1. But according to the previous assignment, we know that this is less than or equal to Sn minus 1 minimum sigma because this stopped process is a supermartingale. So this difference here, this is less than or equal to zero. So also the conditional expectation is less than or equal to zero. Okay, so we prove that this is less than or equal to zero, and we can approximate this from above by this Sk minimum sigma. In the third assignment, we have the Cox-Ross-Rubinstein model, and we are supposed to compute the equivalent martingale measure and the price of a European put option. And let's shortly recall what was the Cox-Ross-Rubinstein model. So the process jumps up or down at each time step, and Sk plus 1 is equal to U times Sk when the process jumps up, and D times Sk when the process jumps down. And we can, these conditions, coefficients U and D, we can write using the exponential function. So we can express U as e to the sigma minus b and b as e to the minus sigma minus b. And we have this condition on sigma and b and the interest rate r. And if this condition holds, then there is exactly one martingale measure. And we can check here, we can compute here that sigma is logarithm of 5 and b is 0 and r is 2 over 5. And we get that this condition is indeed satisfied. So there is indeed a unique martingale measure, and that's why we can use the word the here. There is just one martingale measure. Okay, so martingale measure of S tilde. So we need to show, we need to find measure Q such that the conditional expectation of S tilde T plus 1 with respect to Ft is S tilde T. Okay, and if we divide both sides with S tilde T, so S tilde T is Ft measurable, so we can divide here. So we get that a simple form for this equation. So we need to show that this conditional expectation of S tilde T plus 1 divided by S tilde T with respect to FT is equal to 1. And okay, so we let Q be the probability that the process jumps up. And 1 minus Q be the probability that the process jumps down. So in the model, so Q is the probability in the probability measure Q that epsilon T plus 1 is equal to 1. And 1 minus Q is the probability that epsilon T plus 1 is minus 1. And this is for all T. Okay. So we plug right down here as tilde T plus 1 and as tilde T. So here we multiply with 1 plus R to the T and divide by 1 plus R to T plus 1 to get the tilde away. And now we make an assumption that this measure Q is such that ST plus 1 divided by ST is independent of FT. So let's recall from the lecture that this S tilde K plus 1 divided by S tilde K depends only on epsilon K plus 1. And Fk was the sigma algebra, which is generated by epsilon 1 up to epsilon k. Now we are assuming that the probability measure Q is such that epsilon k plus 1 is independent of Fk. And with this independence assumption, we have that this conditional expectation is actually expectation because of the independence. And now this here is just 1 divided by 1 plus R. And then ST plus 1 divided by ST is 5 with probability Q and 1 over 5 with probability 1 minus Q. And we want that this is equal to 1. And now we can solve Q from this equation. And we get that Q is 1 over 4. Okay. And in B, we compute the fair price of the European put option. And the price of the option, let's scroll on the lecture notes, the price of the option. The price of an European option. So the price is this pi star of Z, and Z is the option. And our option was K minus S2, positive part of K minus S2 in this exercise. Okay, that's the definition for the price. So that's the minimum amount in the beginning that we can hedge, how we can hedge this option. And now that we have only one martingale measure, we can use this remark 3-2-3. So in our exercise, we only have one martingale measure, and then this price can be computed using this expectation of Z divided by 1 plus R to the T. And now Z was K minus S2 plus, and our T is equal to, capital T is equal to 2. So this is what we are going to compute. Okay. And so here we are dividing by 1 plus R to the power 2 and taking the expectation of positive part of K minus S2 with respect to the measure Q. Okay, so 1 plus R is 7 divided by 5, and 10 to the power minus 2, we get 25 over 49. And then with this expectation, okay, S2, it's either 5 times S1 or 1 over 5 times S1. And S1 can be 5 or 1 over 5 times S0. And S0 was assumed to be 1. So S2 can have these different values. Okay. And the value 25 for S2, we get if we jump up 2 times. That's why we get Q squared. So it's the probability that we jump up on the first and also on the second. Now Q squared, not 1 over Q squared, but Q squared. Okay, so that's jumping up 2 times. And then S2 gets the value 1 over 5 times 5, that's the value 1. And this we can get if we jump up and then down, or first down and then up. And the probability of jumping up once and jumping down once is Q times 1 minus Q. And we have 2 different cases, so that's why we multiply with 2 to cover them both. Okay, and S2 can have the value 1 over 25. And this can happen only if we're jumping down 2 times, so that's why we get 1 minus Q to the power 2. Okay, so now we plug in the values that we know and get this approximately 0.75 for the price of the option. In number 4, we have the exact same setting as in number 3. So we have the Coxworth-Rubinstein model and the same option, but now in the American sense, American put option. So now ZT is K, positive part of K minus ST, and this can be exercised at any time, T, 0, T equal to 0, 1, or 2. And the first part is exactly the same as before, so the equivalent Martingale measure is the same as in number 3. And in B, we compute the fair price of the American put option. And let's recall what was that. So first of all, on the lectures, we assumed a stochastic model where we have you need only one Martingale measure, and this is the case in our exercise number 4. There's only one equivalent Martingale measure, which we found out already. So we can use the system from this section, section 3.4. Okay, so how to compute the price? First of all, the price at time capital T is equal to F of ST. So this is in our exercise, K minus S2 plus. So capital T is equal to 2. Okay. And at time capital T minus 1, so this would be our capital T minus 1 in our setting would be equal to 1. So this is K minus S1 plus. But we don't necessarily exercise the option at that time, but we choose the maximum of the value at time one and the conditional expectation of the value at time two. Because we have the two options to exercise the option at time one or leave it and exercise at time two. And we obtain this price process for the option and for the also the discounted price. And the discounting only means that we are scaling with 1 psi to the k. Okay, so this is the formula that we are using for computing the price u zero. Okay, so first of all, u zero is equal to u tilde zero because we would scale with 1 plus r to the power zero. And by the dynamic programming principle, u tilde t is the maximum of z tilde t and the conditional expectation. And for capital T, u tilde capital T is just z tilde capital T. Okay. So what we need to do to get u zero, we need to first compute u1 or u tilde 1. So let's compute u tilde 1. And for this, we need conditional expectation. So u tilde 1 is the maximum of z tilde 1 and the conditional expectation of u tilde 2 with respect to f1. So let's compute this conditional expectation of u tilde 2 with respect to f1. Okay. U tilde 2 is k minus s2 plus divided by 1 plus r squared. And this 1 plus r squared is s0 squared here. And S2, we can write as S1 times S2 divided by S1. And when S1 is equal to 5, we can put 5 in the place of S1. And when S1 is 1 over 5, we plug in 1 over 5 in place of S1 there. But here we just leave this notation S1 here in the place. Because we know that our Martingale measure was such that this S2 divided by S1 is independent of F1. And this will help us because then this conditional expectation becomes just an expectation. So first of all, this indicator function, this is measurable with respect to F1 because this depends only on S1. So we can take this indicator function outside the conditional expectation. And also here. So what we were using here was that we write this S2 in two parts. First is that the S1 is 5 and S1 is 1 over 5 because S1 has these two options. So this indicator function plus this indicator function is equal to 1. So these two indicator functions, they sum up to 1. Okay. And now we take the indicator function outside and because S2 divided by S1 is independent of F1, we replace the conditional expectation with expectation. And let's see. So K was equal to, K is equal to 2. So S and S2 is equal to 1 over 5 with probability 1 minus Q. No, S2, sorry, not P, but Q is the probability. So this is the probability in the measure Q that S2 divided by S1 is 1 over 5. Okay. And the other option is that S2 divided by S1 is equal to 5, but then we have K minus 5 times 5, the positive part of that, so it's 0. So this term here is 0 if S2 divided by S1 is 5 and equal to 1 if S2 divided by S1 is equal to 1 over 5. The probability for 1 over 5 is 1 minus Q. And then here in the second term, S1 is 1 over 5 and S2 divided by S1 can be either 5 or 1 over 5. So this is either K minus 1 or K minus 1 over 25. So if S2 divided by S1 is 5, we have here 2 minus 1, and that's 1, and this is with probability Q. And with probability 1 minus Q, we have S2 divided by S1 equal to 1 over 5, and then K minus 1 over 5 times 1 over 5 is right here. Okay. And 1 over S0 squared is this 1 over 1 plus R squared, and this is 25 divided by 49. And 1 minus Q is 3 over 4. And Q is 1 over 4. Here, and then we get out this approximately 0.8878 from the latter term case where S1 is equal to 1 over 5. Okay, so now we have computed this conditional expectation of U tilde 2 with respect to F1. And now U tilde 1 is the maximum of Z tilde 1 and this conditional expectation. And Z tilde 1 is here, so it's 1 over 1 plus R times K minus S1 plus. Okay, and we have these two cases that S1 is 5 or S1 is 1 over 5. And if S1 is equal to 5, K was equal to 2. So 2 minus 5 is minus 3, that's the Z tilde 1 is 0. Okay, and so this, if S1 is 5, then this conditional expectation is has this value, and Z tilde 1 has, Z tilde 1 is 0. So this is the bigger value if S1 is 5. And if S1 is 1 over 5, then Z tilde 1 is 9 divided by 7. And the conditional expectation is approximately 0.878 if S1 is 1 over 5. So this 9 over 7 is the bigger value. We are taking the maximum. Okay, so now we know U1 tilde. And now U0 is U0 tilde. So that's just the maximum of Z0 tilde. And the expectation of U1 tilde. And Z0 tilde is Z0, so we might as well have tildes here because those are equal. Okay. Z0 is K minus S0 plus, and S0 is 1 and K is 2, so this is just 1 Z0. And the expectation of U tilde 1 is, we can compute then, so expectation of this object here, that's this value times the probability that S1 is 5. So this value times the probability that S1 is 5, that we're jumping up, and then this value times the probability that S1 is 1 over 5. So this value 9 over 7, and the probability that the jumping down is 3 over 4. And we get approximately 1.06. And now we notice that this price of the American option is strictly greater than the price of the European option. In number 5, we show that the price of the European and American call option are equal, and the discounted price of European call option is defined here, right here on this exercise. So this is the conditional expectation of P capital T tilde with respect to FT. And we prove that this is equal to UT tilde. In two steps. And first inequality, we show that UT is greater than or equal to PT. Okay. Firstly, we have that P capital T tilde is equal to U capital T tilde. So this we just know because this approach both S capital T minus K plus the value at time capital T. Now we make the induction assumption and assume that PT tilde is less than or equal to UT tilde for some T. So this whole inequality holds for capital T. That's the initial step in the induction proof. And now we have to assume that this holds for some T. And we step from T to T minus 1. By definition, U tilde T minus 1 is the maximum of Z tilde T minus 1 and the conditional expectation of U tilde T with respect to FT minus 1. And now we had the assumption that U tilde T is greater than or equal to P tilde T. This was the induction assumption which we are using. And the maximum of these two terms is, of course, greater than or equal to one of these terms. So the maximum is greater than or equal to this term, and this term is greater than or equal to the conditional expectation with respect to a conditional expectation of PT tilde. So we get a lower bound from this conditional expectation here. And now let's use the definition of PT tilde. So PT tilde is the conditional expectation of P capital T tilde with respect to FT. And now we use the tower property and we get rid of this inner conditional expectation with the tower property and the conditional expectation of P capital T tilde with respect to FT minus 1 is just P tilde T minus 1 by the definition of P tilde. So we prove that UT tilde is greater than or equal to PT tilde. And in the second step, we prove the other inequality that PT is greater than or equal to UT. And okay, here we first show that this PT is greater than or equal to ZT. So this inequality we will first prove. So start with PT tilde. By definition, it's this discounted conditional expectation. And now this ST minus K plus can be approximated from below by forgetting the positive part, forgetting the plus part. So ST minus K plus is greater than or equal to ST minus K. That's what we are using here. And so this is just st tilde minus k times 1 plus r to the minus capital T. And then multiply both sides of this inequality with 1 plus r to the small t, we get that pt is greater than or equal to st minus k, because here we get 1 plus r to the minus capital T minus t, and this is less than or equal to k, because this is greater than or equal to this is less than or equal to 1, because r is positive. This is less than or equal to 1, this part here. Okay. And also we know that since Pt is the conditional expectation of P capital T, and P capital T is greater than or equal to 0, so also this Pt is greater than or equal to 0. Okay, and that we just proved that it's also greater than ST minus K. So Pt is greater than the maximum of ST minus K and 0. And this is just the set T. Okay. Now we do induction again. So we're again using that Pt, P capital T is equal to U capital T. And now we make the induction assumption that Pt is greater than or equal to Ut for some T, and this holds for capital T. And we step from T to T minus 1. So Ut minus 1 is the maximum of set T minus 1, and 1 over 1 plus R times the conditional expectation of Ut with respect to Ft minus 1. Okay, we just proved that Pt is greater than or equal to set T. So set T minus 1 is less than or equal to Pt minus 1, because this was for all T. And by the induction assumption, Ut is less than or equal to Pt. Okay. So this is less than or equal to the maximum of Pt minus 1 and 1 over 1 plus r conditional expectation of Pt with respect to Ft minus 1. Okay, so let's look at this term here. Let's divide by 1 plus r to the t, and then we have to also multiply with 1 plus r to the t, and here we get this Pt tilde. So from this term we get 1 plus r to t minus 1, and just like before, Pt tilde is the conditional expectation of P capital T tilde with respect to Ft. And we can use the tower property just like before to get that this is equal to Pt minus 1, P tilde T minus 1. And then when we multiply with 1 plus r to t minus 1, we get the Pt minus 1 without the tilde. Okay, so this term is less than or equal to Pt minus 1. So Ut minus 1 is less than or equal to Pt minus 1. And because we have this inequality in both directions, they have to be equal for all t.